With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
H on Twitter, it's at Jay Cameron Show. Might mention that today is the first day of July. We made it, kids. We made it. Here we go. July is upon us. July is when good things happen. Yes, 4th of July is fun, but we're talking about the return of football. Camp begins this month for Florida State. The ACC kickoff is a few weeks away. Next week is the Big 12 kickoff. We've already got the information beginning to flow around football. Football-related activities, football-like things. Football, yes, recruiting. Florida State doing very well there, too. I'll touch on it momentarily. But also NFL camps, you know, just a general conversation begins to shift and center around in a more pressing way, college and pro football. And that's what July welcomes in. That's why we say, come on, come on in July. Yes, typically we associate July unbearable, ungodly, cruel heat. And if you live in the South, if you live in Tallahassee, you know, it's holding true. But at the same time, we also look at it as, okay, kind of when with people taking vacations. But normally you're saying, well, golly, you know, we're still this many days out and it numbers in the 60s usually. And it's because we're not always week zero. We don't usually have camp starting as early as we have it this year. And we don't normally have the luxury, at least recently, of having a baseball team make a run to take us into July and divert our attention away from a footballless land. Nobody likes living in that deserted landscape, but we had all of those things work to our advantage this year. And today you woke up and it was July and you realized, oh man, it's nearly upon us. What's up, Tommy? It's nearly upon us.
You know, I really needed your enthusiasm today because for me, good. I don't know. I'm in this weird spot where I'm excited like you are. I know that camp is basically in 3 weeks. It's a couple more days.
3 weeks. Yeah, it's 3 weeks away. They're starting football in 3 weeks, buddy. It's happening.
We've got logistics meetings behind the scenes about Ireland and some things that we're doing, obviously, during the season. And these are important discussions to be had, and you can feel the pinch, which is great because that creates the enthusiasm to go get those tasks done. But I think I've got this one final little hill. I mean, it's not like the large hills in Tallahassee, one of those little guys that you just got to get over. And then once we're on the other side, I think the hill takes the form of a barbecue, a deck, some beers, daytime baseball on Thursday. I think that's the final little hill. And then once we're over that side of it. But I'm glad you brought the gusto today because that snapped me out of it. I needed it. I needed to be slapped in the cheek. And I'm talking right here, the right side. You wake me up. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to wake you up. I hope I woke everybody up. I'm in good spirits, man. I tell you what, I did wake up thinking about, well, can I share a story? Can I do that here on the show? I didn't wake up immediately thinking football. And if I did, it was quickly derailed. So we have two new members of the family in the Jeff Cameron household, adopted two dogs over the weekend. And really, I'm so excited to add them to the family. You know, the Camerons, over the years, you guys know this. We're a dog family. Usually, we have two dogs. We've spent a stretch the last couple of years with just one dog after my old dog Steve passed away. And most recently, many of you know, and you are all very kind. Maggie passed away, and so we were dogless. And you know, we're very sad. Obviously, when your pets pass, it's tough. And, you know, you take a couple weeks. We went up to New York and we saw you, Tom, and we were able to distract ourselves with a wonderful vacation and went over to Philadelphia. Just had a good time. But when we got back, it was kind of lonely. Me and the kids and Christy, we were all talking. I'm like, man, I'm so used to the dog coming up when you open the door and they just welcome you in. They brighten your life. They're so sweet. And so they've been on me. My two boys have been on me. They said, we got to do something. Let's remedy this dogless situation. And at one of the Tallahassee Animal Service Centers, we learned of an influx of a ton of dogs because I don't want to get into the story, but some idiot was doing the thing where they, you know, have 47 dogs and they don't take care of them. And then the people come and the Animal Service Center comes out and they date the dogs, right, as they should. And they needed homes. So I finally acquiesced today to go on Friday, I should say, to go and look and see if there was something maybe we should do about that. And we went and we found two beautiful dogs, and Mike and Annie are their names. So Mike, we renamed them. Mike and Annie are the two dogs now, and they're wonderful. And it's been a great weekend, and they seamlessly worked into the household, that we haven't had any problems. They go on walks well. They're potty trained. Everything's been great. And then this morning I woke up and I was a little listless. I was kind of clearing my head. You know, I'm an early riser. And I thought, got to get the coffee going. I didn't set up the timer last night. I just got to go flip it on. And I smelled something. I was like, that's not good.
Oh, no.
That's not a good thing there. And these are decent sized dogs. One of them is 65 pounds and the other one is only 7 months old and she's already 47 pounds. So I don't know how big she's going to get because she got huge feet. And so I was like, okay, well, and I bought these two massive crates for them and for bedtime, you know, and dogs like these, and hell, I want to live in this crate. It's so big. So they go in their crates at night when we go to bed and they got a big bed in there and everything like that. They each got their own bed. And I go out there and the young one, the 7 month old, Annie, has had an accident, and I feel terrible for her because she was in a crate, and so she's laying in her own poop. And it was not the thick, clumped together variety.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So this was, if you drove past the Cameron household this morning very early, what you saw was a man and his wife struggling not to scream at one another out of frustration, scrubbing a dog in the front yard with a hose. Well, so that's what you saw if you drove past our house. As the sun came up, there we were. I'm in boxer briefs. My wife's in her pajamas, and we're scrubbing. That's how my Monday, first day of July, began. And I threw the bed out, washed the dog. Not her fault. It's all right. She'll be okay. Everything's okay now. Left the house, everything. It was peaceful, tranquil. Everybody's good. But we had our first. It's what is it? If you get a new animal, you got to go through this. This is what's going to happen. This is what it's going to be.
So are you walking through the door once you get home from the show a little bit nervous? You're going to only half breathe when you walk in? Or are you going to take in a whiff, go, and hope?
No, I feel pretty good. I got to tell you, I mean, they had two full days where there were zero problems. I just think something upset her stomach last night. You know, listen, when they come into your home, I buy the good stuff. I've got really good for you food, right? The ones that are going to help dogs, not hinder their growth. And I think that they were eating, you know, Animal Service Center food. And so now they're eating rich, protein dense, you know, good stuff. And I think maybe it just got to her a little bit. And we're doing some training. And so when you train, you know, you gotta give them treats and stuff. And so I've got these, they're called animal lungs. And anyhow, you give these treats. I think maybe I overdid it when I was teaching her how to walk without pulling all that.
Well, it's possible the boys were spoiling her too. It's possible. I did that with my dogs. They might, you know, just a little treat here. So it all adds up. It all adds up for poor Annie. Was there a finalist list? Was there a determination for the name of Mike and Annie? Or did it just feel right? And you looked at him and you said, that's Mike. And you looked at her and you said, that's Annie. And everybody agreed.
Annie is a red pity. And so she, or at least she's a pit mix. And so she's got beautiful, like pink paws, pink belly, pink ears, and she got a red coat. So little orphan Annie, just seemed to work, you know, and we went that route. And then Mike is a pit full on, and he's got a giant head, and I thought he looked like a Mike linebacker. Plus Mike is just an assertive name, so I was like, all right, you're Mike, it's Mike and Annie. It'd be like, hey, Mike and Annie, welcome you to dinner. What's up? How is everybody? That's how it would be. That's how they are. So we're going over to Mike and Annie's this weekend, right?
Yes. Mike and Annie's is a good place to go. They are always stocked. It's a good place because you can say that with joy. It's not like Trevor and Cindy's, you know, like Mike and Annie's is a good spot. But if you have to go to Trevor and Cindy's, you're like, really? Do we have to go to Trevor and Cindy's today, baby?
Yeah, last time I didn't want to do the Trevor and Sydney thing anymore. We talked about this. Why are we doing? Let's go to Mike and Annie's instead.
Yeah, you notice that she calls him Trevor and not Trevor.
Hey, what a weekend for Florida State. And I'm going to continue to guess. And it sounds like from our experts and the more people I check in on with this stuff, guys, we're solving this recruiting problem. I mean, I think they're. There's real momentum going on right now for Florida State football in the world of high school recruiting. And every time you look up, there's somebody saying yes. And I think they're going to get several this week is what it feels like, what I'm being told. So knock on wood that the trend continues, because every time I check, and now you've got me checking on the regular, I'm like, I'm just like a regular Joe, not a guy that hosts an afternoon show, not a guy that works at War Channel. I'm just your average Joe. Sitting down on a computer every hour, warchant.com. Did we get somebody else? We got another one. Yeah, we got another one. Boom. This is over and over and over again. So, okay. All right. The momentum has been very real. The success, the yeses that we were hoping to get beginning to mount now. All of a sudden you can start, and I would say the quality of the player. And we're talking about the blue chippers that we've been wanting to see Florida State make a serious impact with. It was the first step was getting them on campus, getting a lot of those type or those caliber of players to say, yeah, I'll come visit. I'll come see what you have to say. I'll listen to the pitch. Okay. And you would have liked early on to see a few more yeses out of that group in the first few years. But you also understood the predicament that Florida State was in. So initially, just getting guys of high quality to come out. Now it was time. It was time to cash in a 13-win season. It was time to cash in a 10-win season. It was time. You have real momentum here. You know, your head coach is seen as one of the best in the country. That's momentum. You got to go ahead and try to get your just due with that, and now you're seeing it pay off. Now, there's still more work to do and many more yeses to get, and in the modern era of recruiting, you're never going to trust completely that a kid who says, I'm shutting it down or I'm a Noel in any given moment is going to stick until the actual signing day. You hold your breath. You're never really going to know. The world has changed. These guys are never not being recruited, right? And that goes for us too, right? If a kid says no to us and decides to go to Miami or decides to go to Clemson or decides to go to Florida, we're not going to stop either. That's how it works. So you know that. You know you got to remain vigilant. And I think a big part of it is obviously how well, once you get these kids to say yes, say in July, in June and July, how well do you play in August? How well do you play in September? How well do you play when the upcoming season happens? That solidifies their inclination to want to be a part of something that continues to grow towards overall excellence, towards national championship caliber depth. And that's what you're shooting for. And that's what deep, highly touted, well thought of, high profile prospects do for year over year success and expectations. And so mine are currently being ratcheted up by the level of talent that is saying yes to Florida State right now.
The whole thing is you got to make sure you keep buying bricks from Doak, keep buying stuff from the Battle's End, keep subscribing to whatever plan you might have with them. Keep it up. Because you have to get the signature on the piece of paper. And even then, you're not done. You're not done recruiting that kid because they got a kid on campus. They got to have a positive experience. They got to make sure that, you know, they feel like they're paid attention to, or else they might jet first chance they get after a semester or two. It never, ever ends. And I'm hoping that we are moving towards a period in college football where it will end at some point. When a kid says yes to you, it means yes. And so therefore they are tied to you without penalty, with penalty. If they are to leave, they must sit. They cannot achieve NIL goals, but we're not there right now. So keep buying bricks, go to thebattlesend.com, do what you got to do in order to get the signatures. The amount of yeses you must accrue in the summer and periods like this are many. And that's the whole thing. We're hosting better kids, higher caliber kids. We're getting yeses from better kids, better players, higher caliber players. So this is important. There is growth here. Now the closing skills are going to be the ones that are put in the crosshairs. Of course, the big thing in between then and now, and we've got a week where there's going to be several more choices being made.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to put the good product on the field. And this is the schedule is laid out nicely. Is it the easiest one in the world? No. Miami holds the distinction of having the easier schedule of anybody in the state, but it's laid out very nicely. Take care of business between now and then and keep buying bricks, damn it.
It's laid out very nicely. And no, it's not as easy as Miami's, but it's certainly not as difficult as Florida's. I continue to think about that every time I think about college football. I'm like, man, those people, you know how excited I was to start the show today because July 1st is here because we've entered the month. They're walking to their execution. They're another day closer to the guillotine. They're like, really? Oh, great. It's almost here, guys. Start stretching. Yeah. Going to be a fun Saturday upon Saturday, isn't it, boys?
We better get that one against Miami. We better beat the Canes. We better make sure that we put Mario in a chance where he won't put his knee on the ground.
That is a more important game for the University of Miami than it is Florida, oddly. Florida may not view it that way. Their fans may not view it that way. But there are no real high, weighty, lofty expectations in Gainesville. There are in Miami. And Florida, even if they were to win that game, knows that they're still treading uphill trying to get into a bowl game. They're not going to the college football playoff. So there's, you know, what are you doing here? You're trying to surprise people and go 7-5. Okay, it's an important game. You better win it. If you want to go, if you have aspirations of going 7-5, you better win that game if you're Florida. But what are we talking about? 7-5. Miami, on the other hand, has been told yet again. They self-proclaim it most years, but certainly this is one of those years where it seems mutually agreed upon that Miami's going to be good. They'll tell you that. The experts will tell you that. Everybody seems to think that's quality. Can't lose that game to that team. First of all, if you do, and then Florida goes and does what we think that they're going to do, which is go 5-7. Well, man, that ain't a good look. That's not a good look for the ACC, and it's not a good look for Miami. And we also don't know how strong that mentality is in Miami. Sure, they're emboldened by some acquisitions. They think they finally have a quarterback. They feel like it's their turn to take a big step forward. Maybe, maybe. They haven't done it yet. Fool around and lose to Florida. Let's see how bought in they are. So this is a much more, in my opinion, important game for Miami than it is for Florida.
Yes, please. Fool around. Fool around and find out and lose that football game. I couldn't care less about the ACC's relative perception. Lose the game. This is one I hope their implosion factor. Let's test that culture. Let's give it a good old chin check and see how much they can hold up to a disappointing loss to the University of Florida by the score of, say, 23-13. And this offense that they shelled out millions and millions of dollars for shows great inconsistency. And it shows on game day, it's not as buttoned up as we thought it would be. Perhaps three fumbles for Cam Ward because he likes to put the ball on the ground.
He does.
Now you're second-guessing your quarterback, and you've lost to Florida. I think that is a much greater benefit to Florida State for that to be the result, because I agree with you. Florida's record, the range of outcomes for Florida is not good, no matter how you slice it.
And no, like best-case scenario, they're going to go 8-4.
Right, and they should celebrate that if they did, but yes.
Yes, yes.
They have those same opponents the next year. It ain't going to get better, like to the point where Florida's going to be a playoff team. Miami could reputationally take a big step forward this year. It could be a legitimacy year for Miami. So I'd rather see them drop that game and let's test how loyal all those players are in that locker room or how quickly they might check each other's pockets. That would be the nice outcome for us because relative conference strength does not matter when you're in the ACC. We learned that last year when the ACC had an excellent performance relative to other conferences and head-to-head scenarios.
Yeah, the counter to that is, of course, that you would like your league to be more than a one-bid league. And Miami losing that game begins to start the path towards a one bid league. But I don't care about Miami, and I don't care at all about the rest of the ACC. I just want to do what benefits Florida State. So the argument is that this would benefit Florida State. Not if you think Florida State's going to win the conference. Florida State was always going to get into the playoff if they won the conference.
Also, you know what? At this point, yeah, just win the damn thing. Don't worry about a landing spot and an at-large bid in the wild card. If it's close, they're going to screw you anyway. Yes. And you want out of this league anyway. So on so many levels, forget it. Just do your job. Get to Charlotte and win the football game in December.
Attention, Florida, if you're a victim of an auto accident, our live chat sponsor is Heisman Legal Law Firm, dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisman Legal Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisman Legal Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now or visit HeismanLegalLawFirm.com. Heisman Legal Law Firm, your advocate in times of need.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Briley writes, I'm rooting for a 3-2 Miami start with losses to Florida and Virginia Tech. The fan base will be miserable. The locker room will be contentious, and recruiting will be strained. Come on, football gods. Yeah, I'm Miami's favorite in all those games, right? So it doesn't mean that they'll win them. Of course, they could easily lose them. People lose games that they're favored to win all the time, Miami especially. So that's fine. But I think it's going to take that to create some doubt and perhaps cracks in that momentum of recruiting. They've done a good job recruiting, and that is what he's there to do. Mario Cristobal's not an X's and O's wizard. This is not a guy that's going to win that contest on the whiteboard. Really, in-game coaching is his big Achilles heel. I'm sure he understands the game as well as the next guy. But in-game decision-making and time management, use of timeouts, certain strategic decisions, late in games, down distance scores, they elude him. They elude him repeatedly. And that is the area that offsets his strength, which is recruiting. You'd like to see that continue to be stunted, meaning his recruiting acumen by the on-the-field debacles. Otherwise, they just recruit to a place where his idiocy cannot affect the outcome of the games because the players are too good, and they end up in fewer and fewer and fewer close games in the fourth quarter because bigger, stronger, faster. And that is your fear, right? Like, if you're betting, if you go chips into the middle of the table on Mario Cristobal, you're doing it because you believe that that guy at that particular place is going to out-recruit his in-game deficiencies. And that's a good bet if you're Miami. And I think that's the right bet. I think they made the right bet. That's what I would have done. So it's a race to see whichever wins out. And obviously we're on the other side of this. We'd like to see his game, time decisions, fourth quarter math, fail him repeatedly. And then the recruits start going, well, you know what? I mean, I can't do it. He just messes it up over and over again. Meanwhile, up north there in Tallahassee, there's winning games left and right, and that dude's charismatic as hell and knows what he's doing with a playbook in his hand. So, you know, that's what you're hoping for. I would like to see Miami falter. I get that it's not in our best interest to have Miami lose that game because, again, you want more options to make the playoffs, not less options. But I'm just going to put it back on Mike and the boys and say, win the conference. Win the conference, man, and screw the rest of the league. We're not the SEC. We're not over here chanting ACC, ACC. F them all. I hope none of them get in but us. Screw them.
Well, and then, again, beyond that, last year the ACC did get the results in that version of a game, in that tier of a game. Left and right, the ACC got that result. The SEC did not get that result when it faced the ACC or the Big 12. You name who. The SEC did not perform well out of conference. Does not matter. TV revenue speaks more than head-to-head conference, inter-conference matchups. So, to me, it's about which result can lay the most waste to the recruiting trail in the state of Florida. It would be the Gators beating the Hurricanes in that scenario. That, to me, is the bigger prize to win. We'll see, though. Mario would have a rallying cry, which would be that the conference championship is away, an automatic bid, and this loss was not a conference loss. So you have a way to offset that in the locker room. Briley's scenario is the one that creates the most momentum for Florida State and creates the most momentum for chaos down in Miami Gardens, because they would have lost a conference game to Virginia Tech, and then obviously they still have a date with us. They have a roadie with Louisville. At that point, those games look a hell of a lot more losable if Virginia shows you that you can bleed and that you are fallible. It'll be fascinating to see how Miami puts it together this year. In general, you know, this day and age of college football where you've got to run through multiple playoff opponents in order to hoist a national championship trophy. Right. If you're having the big picture pie in the sky discussion about Mario Cristobal, man, I feel like that's about Cristobal proof. That is about Mario Cristobal. You're going to have to out-coach, or you're going to have to out-talent your opponents three consecutive times in all likelihood. Three consecutive times in order to hoist the national championship trophy.
Well, they'd love to be in the position to see if it, they'd love to be in the position to see if it works, Tom. But I mean, or not, you know, to see, hey, can they be in the playoff and be failed by him? I mean, that's right now. That's all. They can't get too far ahead of themselves on that front.
Hey, look, man, they've been in the desert, and this is an oasis, and they don't care if it's used water, if you take to my meaning, rather than real fresh water. They'll drink it. They'll drink it up right now. But, you know, if you're looking at rings, which is something they've talked about and not earned for decades, I don't know that Mario exactly is somebody who's going to say, line it up and let's play. I like my chances against Mike Norvell head-to-head. I like my chances against Ryan Day. I don't know, man.
Gregory Zay Thomas is who I was referencing at the beginning of the show. The American Heritage 4-star defensive back who said yes to the Noles. And I was excited about recruiting while also constantly pointing to the caveat that I understand the way recruiting works and that they're not here yet. And you just got to kind of celebrate to what extent you want to celebrate. But again, I do think momentum matters in recruiting. And I do think perceptions matter in recruiting. And I think given that he's now the fifth commitment to the 2025 class in this last week alone, that's huge. And that's, you had the Kevin Wynn kid that we talked about, Tom, the defensive lineman who I think is a big difference maker. You get a 320-pound plus kid that moves like he does. That's exciting. CJ Wiley was the one that kind of surprised some people at wide receiver. Chase Lofton, we know the tight end. We'll see about tight end. But, you know, that puts Florida State in an enviable position right now, top 10. In the recruiting rankings, someplace they have not been in a while, and it would be nice to see this move on up into top five category. We'll see how this week plays out for Florida State. But if you can garner this momentum, it's better than not. And I think that it only stands to reason. It's following kind of a logical conclusion. Yes, they have had a tough time on actual signing days procuring that final commitment to sign on the line, which is dotted. this gives them an opportunity, obviously, to make amends for some of those. I also think they're in a better position to make amends for some of those because they've now proven on the field that they are moving in the right direction. There's no lingering doubts that the program is in good hands. There's no lingering doubt that the head coach is no longer going to be here, that somebody's going to come pluck him. Alabama couldn't. I mean, you're as secure as you could be. So to me, these are all good signs that suggest a better outcome, all the while knowing it doesn't guarantee anything. I got it. And if they were to fail with some of these kids that have verbally committed to Florida State that are 4 and 5 stars, in fact, that's all they've got committed, are blue chip players. They don't have any other type of players right now. These are all blue chippers for 2025, kicking ass. So if they were to fail on that front, we're going to have a very different conversation about it. But they're in a position. And again, if you flood the market, right, you end up with, let's say you're trying to get 19 guys like this, 20 guys like this, and 16 say yes, and you miss out on 3, okay.
Well, and they're in on a lot of kids at a lot of these positions where they're going to only take 2 or 3, but they're finalists for 5 or 6, and so you might have some players you could pivot to if, say, there was a surprising midseason or late in the process decision where a kid decides to flip or decommit from FSU. So you've got other choices. I thought one of the larger commits, and literally as well as, you know, importance to the class, was Myron Charles on Friday. That was a surprise. He was long thought to be leaning to Florida State so heavily he was falling over. But, you know, if you listen to his exit interview from the final official visit weekend, it was meh. I mean, like, he wasn't feeling it. And so people were wondering, this kid out of Port Charlotte, who, according to On3, is a top 20 player in the state, what gives? This one was a layup for Florida State, and it's great that they got Kevin Wynn. But what about this kid that everybody considered to be a heavy lean to Florida State? And bam, out of nowhere, around 5 o'clock, 5:15 on a Friday, yeah, he says, I'm in. And so now you have two large 4-star defensive interior players. And this is a position where just a week and a half ago, I was speaking with Michael Langston on the Smash, asking what position group are they a little bit thin on? It's 2.5 weeks now. He said it was defensive interior. He liked where they were trending towards edge, but defensive interior, don't know where these answers are going to come from. Myron Charles, maybe, but who else? Okay, if you can get these two large human beings to stick, man, now you've got a trench class that you can brag about on both sides of the football.
Well, now you're talking to me, and I say this all the time. We've recruited defensive back exceptionally well. We got a ton of guys. I feel like skill position players, we can do better. I'd like to see a deeper roster of receivers right now than we have, but I think you can also, to some degree, project a couple of these guys to really rise this year. Hakeem Wilson being the one that I think is the prime candidate to do so. Sorry, we had a glitch here, and then I was in the middle of talking to you, and I got sidetracked. Sorry. Anyhow, this, we'll see if that happens or not. But also maybe find a way with the portal or something like that. But the trenches are always what move the needle with me, and we just haven't seen it with defensive line. So here you go. Here you go. That, to me, was really big news. And, of course, they already had the Hilson kid, right, at defensive end. So you had the edge rusher in Hilson, who is really well thought of. So now you can see this coming together a little bit.
Yeah, you could see the picture taking form. And, you know, I think at receiver, if you look at the last couple of classes, you know, Hakeem is a player who we know he's going to be on the field a lot because he's physical. He just needs to be a better pass catcher. Elijah Moore is somebody I've got a lot of hope for. I know he has not practiced at Florida State officially in a football practice, maybe a player.
I like 6'4". Yeah,
man. And he's got whatever that it thing is about catching in traffic and generating space in small areas, the dynamics of going and high pointing a football. Think Auden Tate before the refinement and Auden Tate after the refinement. He seems refined for his size.
You're talking about big receivers. Like Hakeem Williams is a kid that I love because of that size, right? Now I need to see him do it this year. And then you talk about Elijah Moore at 6'4". So you're talking about, again, big guys. I love that. They seem to have a bevy of slot guys that are smallish. That's fine. They can all do their shifty thing, and that's great. Give me those big sons of bitches out on the edges. They're going to jump up, and I don't care how good a corner you are, that is a problem unless you're one of these elite types that are going to be playing in the league yourself. Unless you're one of these 6'1", 6'2", corners, if you're dealing with 6'4", can jump, you got problems.
Yeah, and then you project out to next year. Jaylen Brown will have another year in the system. Destin Hill will be a unicorn at that point, coming off of eligibility and injury concerns. But I mean, you're pretty well covered in that department if you're looking for speed. And then his name escapes me, but the true freshman that you were raving about that got banged up in spring camp. An early enrollee. So you've got several options from the last couple of years worth of recruiting classes. And then Destin Hill, who will be in his, you know, third year of eligibility, going on 30 years old. But that's a nice combination to work with when you're talking about undersized slash speed receivers. It's not like Jaylen Brown's tiny. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to short him in that regard. But you combine that with an Elijah Moore. If you get a CJ Wiley on campus, Hakeem one more year in the system. Yeah, man, there's a lot to work with at wide receiver. Even though it hasn't felt like we've cashed, I think it's going to look like a pretty good room from the high school ranks over the next year or two.
Well, the Destin injury is devastating. Yeah. I really think he was poised to have a big season. And he was looking incredible in camp. We all saw it. And, you know, this was a kid that already flashed last year before the injury. You just hate it for him. I mean, I honestly know I'm being selfish as a Knoll and wanting to see this team be its best possible version of itself. He was going to help you get there because he is a problem. I mean, that is difference making speed, and he had gotten thicker, and you could just see that was a kid that was going to probably really jump off for a lot of people. And the injury, you can't help that. Football's a rough game. People get hurt all the time, but man, that one stung. I hated for him too, because you got to know how frustrated he is knowing what kind of camp he was having. Ah, frustrating. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
What'd you make of sort of the hullabaloo over the weekend, Tom? I don't know if you saw this or not, but Michael Alford tweeted out just the spear. And, you know, this is a fan base that is desperate for news regarding the departure of the ACC, our departure of the ACC. And I think people were trying to make something of that tweet. I know that others in this business, some on the national front, like Josh Pate and others, have said, you know, that they're hearing things. That doesn't always make it true. They may be hearing things. I don't think they're making that part of it up, but it doesn't mean something is about to happen or imminent. But I think married with some of that talk last week from various outlets, and then that tweet led people to the conclusion that we were about to get seismic news in regards to the ACC and its plight fighting Clemson and Florida State on the legal front. And whether or not, you know, obviously if you tweet something like that out, you'd seem to indicate that something positive is happening. So it wouldn't bode well for the ACC. It would bode well for Florida State. Did that draw your attention at all over the weekend?
A little bit. You know, this is one of those times where I think there are a few players in the Florida State institutional ranks who really want to be there the moment that this thing happens. They want to be remembered as maybe the person who indicated the watershed moment where all of the speculation becomes reality. And I'm not talking about media types. I'm talking about Florida State, the institution. You've got a lot of folks in the athletic department, the board of trustees who have worked very hard, and they worked very, very hard to get Florida State out. But they certainly want the receipts. You know, they want to be able to declare, I worked very hard to make sure that Florida State got from one place to the next. And so when I saw that, that was where my thinking went first. It was like, oh man, is he trying to tip everybody off that they made this thing happen? But when nothing came behind it, and I'm not saying that my phone has to be something that gets hit, but anybody on staff at War Chant who have, you know, decades long connections, you've got a bunch of people on the inside from different pieces of this particular puzzle, or, you know, the different puzzles, this particular table that we're playing the games on. I would imagine that when it's going down, people won't be able to help themselves.
Correct.
But to tip us off. And so I thought, oh, okay, you have my attention. Let's see if we start to get a flood. And when there was no flood of information or flood of leaks coming from 4 and 5 different directions, I thought, well, that must be just like, you know, a 17-year-old doing the eyeballs emoji and people thinking he's going to commit today. So that's it probably was about Link's extension, I guess.
Yeah, it probably was, actually. And it caught my attention. I'm like everybody else. I'm not any different. I'd like to know that something's coming down the pike. And I do think that I'll get some notification from some people that would be in the know. You're right. I'm very fortunate. I've been doing this 27 years. I've made very good sources and contacts. I've also done it across platforms. I've done it in radio. I did it for Sirius XM for years. I've done it in a lot of different ways. So you get to where you meet different people in the industry and you're like, okay. So I know agents and attorneys and administrators and athletes and that's part of being in this job. It's a really cool part of being in this job. And so I was waiting for any combination of those guys. Usually, and I'll just let you know on this, and I know you know this, but I'm just letting the audience know, the only time that I'm going to get to where I'm thinking, oh, maybe I need to put out some feelers, maybe I need to reach out to some of these aforementioned contacts and see, is there anything to this, is there's a combination of things that have to happen. Two disparate folks who do not know one another but are equally tuned in, tied in to people in the know, have to reach out to me separately and say, hey, man, here in da da da. And then somebody I know that doesn't know that guy at all, but is also connected from a different realm in a different field, but is also connected, does something similar at different times, let's say within the same day. Okay, now we've got something going on here. Now it's not just some, because we all hear things every, if you're in this business, you hear something every day, and some of it is very intriguing. And you got to be careful about what you go with and what you don't. Pate got burned over the summer. He got burned at the end of the year. He really thought this was going to be the craziest year ever for transfers. And he looked like a fool because his sources led him astray. Nothing like that happened. Nothing. Not even close to that. It's unfortunate for him. He got burned. But you got to be careful. And it stinks because you want to do an interesting show. You want to have conversations that, you know, this fan base, for example, specific to Florida State, is interested in. You do hear things on a regular basis that you think, well, this guy's never steered me wrong before. That is an interesting take by him. And you end up falling down that rabbit hole. And next thing you know, it's 7 hours on a Saturday and you've talked with everybody you've ever met in this business, trying to get to see if these are connected, and it can just drive you nuts. But it didn't feel like anything was imminent. And yet that's where we're at, is everybody highly, finely tuned to any kind of news on that front, because we're so desperate to get out. Hey, it's not lost on me. Today's the day that Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC officially. Today is the day that the ACC announces that program's not named Texas and Oklahoma are joining the ACC. Yes. Yes. That's a hell of a counter. I see right, what you right. did there, SEC. Might I show you that we've added SMU, Cal, and Stanford? How you like them apples?
So poker analogy. I've got 10 of these chips. Yeah, well, those are $1 chips, dude. I've got a $100 chip over here. But I've got 10 of them. I've got more. We added three today. You added two.
Yeah.
While that is in fact true, the value of those three you added is nothing like the two that I've added. It's just there are some stories, and we can harken back, well, over 10 and a half years now, which is wild to say, to the Jameis storyline. You know, that was one in which you needed to be careful. And you did, of course, but everybody who was trying to report that story needed to be careful. You can't get that one wrong. You can't try and jump the gun on the legal process. Might have been a guy in the office that might have taken an affront to somebody jumping the gun in the media and maybe changing his mind to spite the media. Like that a loose cannon situation, that was a one to be very, very careful about and get right. And there are some storylines like a coaching change where it's Nick Saban and the Dolphins. You know, like these are things you cannot get wrong because you can't unring that bell. In this instance, everybody knows Florida State wants out. Everybody knows Florida State is going to get out. It's just a matter of time. Like, for example, the guy you referenced is saying, well, the big news for the ACC and Florida State is this month. Well, their deadline is August 15th. That's a humongous leap. And by that, I mean not a leap at all. Chances are they're going to announce something in the next month to 6 weeks. But the problem is when you have a tweet like Alford's yesterday, everybody under the sun wants to quote tweet it and use the eyeballs. Everybody wants to jump on the boards and claim that, well, I heard this has been a long time coming. You have already said this, and I agree. I wouldn't be shocked if those conversations were had and those deals perhaps made. Like already they might have, but they need some dominoes to fall so they can move forward with it. But I think the moment that it's actually coming, a lot of people, both in the Tallahassee media circles and the national media circles, will have that within 10 minutes of each other. They're all going to have it.
No doubt. And I don't think, it's easy to say that, hey, within the next month, something big is going to happen. It has to. Florida State has to make an announcement by August 15th. So, yeah, something's going to happen. And you can say that. And I'm not, listen, I think there are people who do their due diligence. And sometimes you get things wrong. Sometimes situations change. You can have to walk some things back occasionally, but you were not going at it from the wrong place. You may not have even been all that irresponsible. Occasionally that happens. And that sucks when it does, because then the people are made to look bad, but there are differences. So every source is different, obviously. And I look forward to that. Now, once the season starts, this will all kind of go away. Chef Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hour number two forthcoming. That one flew past. Let's keep it rolling, kids.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.